across the galaxy. This is where conspiracy on the wild side meets the perspective of a lifetime. This is the Free Zone with your host, Freeman.
Hello and welcome to the Free Zone. Well, guys, man, this road has been long and amazing. I can't believe the things that happen to me and how life occurs. And I hope that we can find a way that all of us find a path that leads us back to ourselves. Because we are so distant from our own being, it's ridiculous. I see in my life how I was born into the first point of light in the 1,000-point-of-light system created by George H.W. Bush. I mean, the fact that I would grow up in the first police state would set the stage for all that was to come. It didn't surprise me as my life unfolded. I mean, I took off onto the road, and there's a bumper sticker that says, "Who is the Grateful Dead and why are they following me?" This was literally my life. As I traveled around, it seemed these deadheads were following me everywhere. No matter where I went, I was living this mystery. I mean, I took a school bus across the United States on a random mission from the dead center of the United States, not having a clue as to where I was going. And in that trip, I formed a sacred spiral around the United States and reversed the Merry Pranksters trip exactly. Even ending up in La Honda, where he bought the school bus to start the Merry Pranksters trip back in the 60s. This just doesn't happen. I mean, now I'm set to live in a city that is dedicated to becoming the very first smart city in America. How did I end up here? You know, there is a pattern to life. Archetypal forces that were known to our genes, to our ancestral mysteries, our ancestral memories. The ancients, they somehow knew these places of power, and they were able to affect geomancy. So we're going to get deep into life today with our wonderful friend, Ross Ben, as he brings to us his new latest work, Free Your Mound and Your Mind Will Follow. Ross, welcome to the Free Zone. It's always great to speak with you.
My man, what's up? How you doing, good brother?
I am keeping the mystery alive as best as I can, trying to show people that life has a pattern, Fibonacci sequences, that life will unfold in ways that are truly mysterious to mankind, but known only to God, and that we could be guided without Greta Thunberg in our lives.
Well, I would have to affirm that because truth be told, you were kind of there at the beginning of this Free Your Mound and Your Mind Will Follow book, you know?
Yes.
Because I was doing the Mystic Philly research. And at the time, I did kind of see it coming together as a book, but its name was going to be Mystic Philly, the Astrology and Geomancy of America's First Metropolis. Some crazy something like that, you know? Right. It was coming in, you know, it was all just coming in to being. But then I got invited to that Free Your Mind conference.
Yeah.
And I think that was, 2013 maybe? 2014? It's been a while, man.
It has.
And I morphed what I had in the book into a presentation that I named Free Your Mound and Your Mind Will Follow, you know, trying to play on the theme of the Free Your Mind conference, you know. And yeah, man, you know, it's kind of rolled out and evolved from that point. And
you just never know.
Synchronistic that here we are talking about it, you know, bam, 2019.
And here it is at the climax of the crisis, you know, end of the world stuff going on. The president's tweeting back at Greta Thunberg, telling her, glad she's such a happy young girl looking for such a bright, shiny future. You know, we have to find our ancestral memories to get back to this. And a lot of what's going on right now is disruption of all of that with, well, you know, here I am, Ross Ben. I'm sitting in the what's going to become the first smart 5G city with Sprint's Curiosity Internet of Things. And, you know, I'm a little worried. I am. And I know you also wrote 5G Wellness 101. And I wondered, you know, if you had some ideas for me to prepare for this as they start to build this around me.
Yes. Well, I think one of the most critical things we have to do in this season is to keep productive emotions.
Oh, my emotions are out of whack, man.
But that was really the biggest intention I came forth with the 5G Wellness 101, because everything I was hearing about 5G was doom and gloom, you know?
Right.
And it had a fear factor attached to it. And that alone, just that seed of thought alone, is deteriorating to the body, you know? And I was fortunate that I was able to get in the lab with some elders up in New York who, this brother named Ankh Rising Sun, next one named Lester Lovin, who, you know, these are high scientists who've been dealing with metaphysics for decades with, you know, science of like crystals, pyramids, magnets, organite, things of them nature. And, you know, I've been dealing with it 30 years myself, and just chopping it up with them, crafting devices that, you know, kind of downloads, kind of intuition, kind of what would technologically make sense. We came up with some, what we consider simple, but what we are experiencing is phenomenal protection, you know? So that's what that's really what 5G Wellness 101 is all about. The big key, Freeman, you have to stay magnetized, brother. You have to stay magnetized. If we look in nature, like let's say, all right, let's look in nature and find an example of electromagnetic protection of a living being. All we have to do is look in our solar system, okay, with the relationship of the sun and the earth, where we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for what is called the Earth's magnetosphere. It's that magnetic aura, magnetic shield, magnetic field around the Earth that blocks most deadly radiation from penetrating the atmosphere and getting down to us in the biosphere, you know? And our solar system isn't static. It has space weather. And the sun is the main driving force of space weather. Sometimes the Earth gets hit with solar flares, which causes the Earth's magnetic sphere to like bend and distort, you know? Sometimes if the Earth gets hit with a coronal mass ejection, if you know those charged particles hits the magnetic sphere with enough force at the right angle, it's like the magnetic sphere gets peeled back and that deadly radiation can actually penetrate down, you know, into the atmosphere, zap power grids, zap satellites, you know, astronauts, pilots, people in high places. They could get toxic doses of radiation. So, you know, after that coronal mass ejection, it might take a week or so for the Earth's magnetic sphere to regroup itself and reform itself and get its natural shape. So I think this is the best analogy we can visualize as far as our own energy field and what happens to it when we get hit with, you know, massive amounts of radiation, right? So under normal conditions, you know, our sun is, I mean, our aura is like the magnetosphere. Earth's magnetosphere, you know, it's just in its normal shape. Let's say we're around a 4G Wi-Fi router, like, you know, like this 4G environment we're in now. I kind of relate that to the solar storms where, yes, it's impacting our aura. You know, when the Earth gets hit with a solar storm, it will usually manifest as what they call those northern lights, you know? And that's the Earth's magnetosphere discharging that unwanted energy really in a beautiful way, you know? So if our magnetosphere is, if our magnetosphere, our aura, if it's strong, like in this 4G environment, that's how we're going to be able to roll, you know. With 5G, though, we can compare 5G to the coronal mass ejection. And we are really going to have to step up how we fortify and magnetize our aura. I think the integration of commercial magnets is the key. And that's one thing I talk about. Because prior to this 5G reality, regular crystals probably afforded enough paramagnetic energy, you know, subtle magnetic fields to keep us magnetized. I think 5G, we might have to incorporate like commercial magnets, you know, the neodymium magnets, hematite magnets, start wearing them so that the, you know, the strength of our magnetic aura can resist the strength of the 5G coming at us, you know?
Yeah, yeah. We can't trust our own emotions. We don't know if what we're feeling is actually what we feel or if it's being projected due to the frequency modulation. I actually have a wonderful gift that was given to me almost a decade ago by one of my listeners. And it is a wire mesh screen that goes under my mattress. And yes, he has attached a machine that he designed himself that has batteries in there, and it pulses the poles north and south throughout my entire sleep. And I do find this completely amazing, and I can feel these effects. I have, of course, the Masaki pyramid organite with the Roden coil pumping out whatever frequency I apply. These are some of the methods that I have started to adopt as we enter this strange, strange new time.
Yes. And a lot of people are getting downloads as far as spiritual technologies, you know?
Right.
Season for that. What I attempt to do in 5G wellness is to, beyond giving some basic, you know, crystal families to work with, is to also kind of explain the specs of the human body. You know, like you get your cell phone, you get your laptop or whatever, you usually know the specs of that device, you know, at least if you read your manual or whatever, it'll have a little label on the side. It'll tell you what its voltage is, what its amperage is, what's the megahertz the processor's running on. And, you know, excuse me. We know the specs for all of our gadgets. But can you tell, what megahertz do we run on? What hertz do we run on? What's our polarity? What's our voltage? You know? And it's because we don't know these things is why there's even room for question or room for debate as to whether wireless technology may or may not impact our health, you know? So that's one thing I do attempt to do, is to, in simple language, explain the human body as an energy system. What are our specs? So that you know, if you know that, if you know what your hertz is, if you know that the cohesive hertz for our body is 8 hertz, you know, that if you could keep an 8 hertz frequency around you, no matter what other frequencies may be jumping off, that 8 hertz is going to act as a cohesive frequency that allows you to hold it all together and bring it all together and be that magi. Because, you know, 8 hertz, or, you know, they at 7.8 technically, you know, they call it that Schumann resonance. But it's the resonance of the earth. The earth resonates at 8 hertz, and it's the resonance of magnetism. It's the beginning of the electromagnetic spectrum, you know, or one pole of it. Can't say it's the beginning, but it's the one pole. It's the one pole we want to be anchored to throughout all of this, you know. So we break down our specs. Another important spec is the gigahertz of water as it relates to 5G, okay? Because, and this is really, I would say, the biggest issue of microwave wireless technology. Water has a very broad absorption rate as far as, you know, range of energy. Depending on the temperature or the state of the water, meaning, like, you know, is it a water vapor or is it liquid water or ice, it will absorb frequencies from 1 to 100 gigahertz. Okay? 5G broadcast spectrum is slated to be 1 to 95 gigahertz. So basically they're planning on broadcasting over the water spectrum. Okay? And just so that we can get a visualization of what this means, microwave ovens, frozen water resonates at around 2.45 gigahertz. It's within the range. 2.4 gigahertz is the range in which frozen water absorbs radiation. So what are microwave ovens set to defrost food at? 2.4 gigahertz. Water at 98.6 degrees resonates at 2 gigahertz. So that means the body, the water in your body, and what's the percentage of water in our body? About 70%, right? It resonates at 2 gigahertz. So what is that going to mean when they're broadcasting over that spectrum? What is that going to mean to the water in our body? You know? So
absolutely.
Yeah, these are the things that, we kind of explain so that we know what we're dealing with. You know, it's not a mystery, but knowing, you know, with awareness comes empowerment and solutions. And yeah, that's what we offer, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, in Austin, Texas, when I was broadcasting there, there were numerous occasions where I felt like I was being microwaved. Mm. I would start to heat from the inside out. I couldn't define it. I couldn't explain it. And it was a bit frightening because I would literally start to overheat. We see what's happened with submarine communications using HARP-like technologies, ultra-low frequencies, and that whales were coming to the surface with imploded eardrums, bloody noses, and just die-offs, you know, mass extinction of sea creatures due to these ultra-low frequencies used for submarine communications to penetrate, you know, the ocean. And we can see the results of what this does to the animals around us. We can feel it within ourselves, but we have so little knowledge of the systems. I didn't know my body's hertz or megahertz or anything of that nature. And so, yes, it develops this system of fear because we don't know what's happening to us. And it develops in all of these crises that are now coming to the surface. And then the fear is being used against us over and over again. We've got, again, Greta Thunberg, as she is the current apparent Nazi youth. I mean, she really does look like a Nazi youth poster. You know, spreading nothing but fear, saying we're at an extinction level event, but no solutions, never a solution offered, just the fear, just the problems, and just the bad men at the top who are doing anything about it. And this is being programmed all over the place. But as I've discovered through my travels, that life does have a pattern. There is a large frequency that develops in Fibonacci sequences around plants, around starfish, around snails, everything that we see, this sacred spiral, this understanding of life and how it unfolds. We've moved to fractals. We've moved to a new understanding of physics. And yet the human has left himself out of this picture as some sort of observer. But in the ancient past, as you have shown with these mounds, there was knowledge of geomancy. There was a way for humans to be part of the living system that was planet Earth, or even the solar system, the galaxy, and everything beyond. We were in tune because we did not have all of this disturbance of fear that we're, you know, no society has ever had to deal with the level of information that our current society has. This constant broadcasting of everything, you know, your Twitter feed, your Instagram feed, your Facebook feed, your everything, and you're just pounded with information. Frequency. Information is obviously frequency as well, and the frequency of that information is fear. So we have to find our way back to this homeostasis that came from the understanding of geomancy and being one with our environment. So what was it that started this, or what have you learned about the methods of building these mounds, how they were formed? I'm still trying to figure out why Greenville, South Carolina was chosen to be the first smart city in America. So I'm moving on to Free Your Mound and the understandings there as we start to try to find the pattern of life within ourselves and then in our environment as we create it.
Yes. Well, the root of mound technology goes back to, again, this magnetism. Okay. Information and life force energy is transmitted, broadcast throughout creation on the magnetic spectrum. So when you're getting those downloads, it's coming from the magnetic spectrum. when you're getting a healing, you go out in the element, you go out in nature, and you start feeling better. It's you're getting magnetized, okay? And indigenous cultures recognized there were three main sources of magnetic life force that they could tune into for information and, you know, for strengthening life. That was the celestial realm, the earth itself, and ancestors. So mounds are really a spiritual technology where they create a sacred space that you can connect with all three sources of that magnetic life force, you know? And that they would usually align the mounds with some form of constellation, star formation, or celestial event, you know, equinox, solstice, or, you know, some conjunction of a significant star. It's northern zenith, you know, some relationship with a star system. May even be that they fashioned the mound to be a, you know, earthly mirror or earthly representation of that celestial constellation.
Like the pyramids and Orion's belt.
Exactly. That's perfect example. Thank you. And they would also align the mounds magnetically, north, south, you know, so they were in tune with the earth. And the mounds weren't just randomly placed. They were placed along what we would call ley lines, which are basically the magnetic radial points. We know that in any magnet, there's radial points, or points where the magnetic fields are coming out of, and magnetic poles where the magnetic fields are going to. So, you know, the Earth has north and south magnetic poles, but it also has radial points kind of geometrically placed throughout the globe. And I know that's what? Flat globe. But anyway, our ancestors would put these mounds on these nodal points to tap the magnetic fields of the earth. So, yeah, that was our spiritual technology. This was a way we could just stay informed, have life force amplified within our environment, stay connected with the ancestors, keep up with seasons, and was the foundation of what you call a naturalist agriculture system, you know?
Yeah, it makes me think of that amazing book, Paramagnetics. And folks, if you haven't read that one, put that one right under your list of free your mound and your mind will follow, and get a copy of Paramagnetics.
Like, I got to get one myself. I'm not familiar.
Oh, it's amazing, Ross. It was a study of soil, and you would not have expected it. And this person actually created the term paramagnetics. And what they had found were these round towers in Ireland that were built for unknown reasons. They were circular towers, cylindrical, that went way up. And the doorway on these towers would be some 7 to 9 feet in the air with no ladder, no steps, no nothing. And those that came to study this, you know, ancient archaeologists and things, could not really find a reason for these doorways to be 9 feet in the air. So of course they came up with the idea that this would be a place for people to hide when under attack, which is completely foolish because you're entirely trapped. But the studies on paramagnetics showed that around these round towers, all life grew so much fuller, the grass, the plants, everything. And so they did a frequency test, and they found that the magnetic center was at the doorways that were put at random heights, you know, as if people knew exactly where the focal point of the paramagnetics were to put the opening there. And everything that grew around this were 10 times the size of anything else. And so it was literally from a soil study that the concept of paramagnetics came to understanding. I went to a sacred mason temple, and I believe it was in England, and there it was on the floor. I have a picture of this. I'll put it in my Instagram. A floor mosaic of a round tower right there. So, you know, these secret societies, they darn well know. And the ancients, they had a way of sensing these paramagnetic frequencies. But the study shows that life is generated by this.
Absolutely. And thank you for sharing, because yes, that is a reaffirmation of everything that Free Your Mound and Your Mind Will Follow is built on, you know? This idea that these mounds were a spiritual technology built to accumulate life force energy in the environment. So then conversely, like you say, you have a order that we'll call mound gritters, who, in the name of Rome, have a mission of finding these mounds and occupying and harnessing the magnetic life force accumulated by that mound for their own will and intention, which is, you know, ultimately to expand Rome for world dominion, you know. And the United States, when you really study the urban design and the history of urban planning in the United States, that's what's embedded in it. And because of that, if you know the science of geomancy and you know the roots of it, you can probably decode your city pretty easily, necrogeomantically, you know? And that's really what we got set up with Free Your Mound, you know, and Your Mind Will Follow.
Yeah, right around this area, the South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia area, everything's built on necrogeomancy. There are bodies under every city. Everywhere you go, there's a ghost tour telling you about how much death you're walking over at that very moment. It's pretty insane.
Yes. Well, when you know that, all right, so you know the poetic name of the United States is Columbia. And nation's capital is District of Columbia. The Roman root for that word is columbaria. And a columbaria was a holder of burial urns. They were square boxes that would hold burial urns. And because they were subterranean, but with you know, access to the surface and the size of them, they were ideal for doves and pigeons to nest in. So, you know, Columba is Latin for dove or pigeon. And pigeons would roost, they would nest in these cremation boxes. And so they earned the name Columbaria. And that is the poetic name of the United States. So on the most occult level, Columbia is really dealing with necrogeomancy. You know, it is code word for necrogeomancy.
Well, let me throw in there then, folks, that Columbus, we all know that wasn't his name. We all know there was no Columbus. If anything, he was a Greek prince with a name that I can barely pronounce. But the name Columbus had to be made famous because that's the male version of Columbia. And so we all now know this Christ, Christopher Columbus. And it was another way of engineering that necro term into our system of reality.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And all the death that he represents as well, you know?
Right. There's a memorial in Nashville to Columbia, and it has the death goddess there. I have a number of representations of Columbia holding dead bodies, and Nashville is one of the major places where it shows up, and it says satanic wrong on the engraved in the building, and it is Columbia there with all the dead soldiers at her feet, just and then all around it, the different versions of Columbia are the capital heads. I'll post this in my Instagram as well and include it with the article here when we get the show posted. So you can look around at the art and architecture and see clearly what you're talking about. I can't wait to show you this image from the memorial in Nashville.
Yeah, one of the deepest representations of Columbia in Philadelphia is that George Washington equestrian statue at Eakins Oval. And she's like represented as a new the new queen enthroned. She's facing Fairmount, which is, you know, the most sacred indigenous mound in this area. You know, it's the we've talked about this mound on previous shows, you know, and how they work it. But she's facing that. In one hand, she's holding a sword by the blade, not by the handle, which means she's holding the sword by the blade, which means she'll shed her own blood. And in the other hand, she's holding two flagpoles, which means where she sheds her blood, she's going to establish a memorial, you know, put a flag there. And she's flanked by who we would call the dead burying the dead, because on her left side is a dying soldier with a rifle in his hand. And to her right is a dead man with a shovel, you know? So yeah, it's pretty, doesn't get too much deeper, you know, but clearer as far as who Columbia, Columbaria, you know, that Columbia, Columbaria nexus, you know?
Definitely. It's a mystery that, you know, so few people ever asked, and it shocked me because I made the first documentary on Columbia 15 years ago. And it was shocking to me that no one even considered why our nation's capital was the District of Columbia, and that no one had ever posed that question of who is this goddess Columbia.
Yes.
When I went to Austin, Texas, and you had said these things were astronomically aligned and situated to stars, of course, Columba, the star, relates to the star Sirius and is used in the Masonic rituals often. That sign of the dove, it's right there, folks, on Aleister Crowley's sigil for the OTO, all right? It's there, a death sex cult. It's right there for you to see. In Austin, Texas, where the tower, the UT Tower, University of Texas Tower is, there's also a statue of George Washington right below it. And this tower, its phallus, was used by Charles Whitman to create the first mass shooting fear and threat. So it started from that tower, but straight in line from the UT tower is the goddess Columbia. And she was placed there in 1933 as a war memorial. And she is riding a boat being drawn forth by fishmen riding fish horses. And to her left is a shell, and to her right, a pentagram. And of course, these are the symbols of Texaco and Shell oil companies, but they are also symbols of Venus. Venus makes a pentagram each transition as it moves in our sky. And the shell is what raised Venus up out of the ocean in the ancient stories. So the shell and pentagram represent Venus, which relate to our goddess Columbia. And if you look Venus up in the dictionary, folks, you will find the name Lucifer. Without question, Lucifer is Venus. So now look at your Starbucks logo one more time, the pentagram goddess with her crown as she pulls her ankles up behind her ears in a sexual position. That is the Starbucks logo.
Right.
It's all around us, everywhere we turn. And yet it's this deep, deep mystery that so few have ever even asked the questions of why. Now, I wanted to bring it to the astronomical. When you look from the UT Tower where Charles Whitman shot, directly in front of that, of course, the goddess Columbia, and then directly in front of that, the Capitol Dome of Austin, Texas, with another goddess standing upon it who looks very much like Semiramis. She has a very weird face, and they've even had to explain that her face is so strange because they wanted it to look normal from the ground. Which I've seen this face to face. I've been right there with it. And if you compare it to any ancient Sumerian, then you will see why the face is so weird. But the obelisk, the dome, and the pentagram that this goddess holds above her head on the Capitol Dome is the ancient Egyptian hieroglyph for Sirius. If you look it up, it's an obelisk with a dome, with a pentagram above the dome. That is the ancient symbol of Sirius, and it is the exact layout of University of Texas into the city of downtown Austin. It's there, folks, but the mystery is hidden, and it takes people like Ross Benn to dig deep, deep, deep into what most people would consider just a mound, right?
Well, it's we each one teach one in this season, you know? But what I would say is that the way I set up Freer Mound is, right, we all see every city has something that kind of obviously stands out. Like, yo, what the hell is that? You know what I mean?
No doubt.
And you can penetrate it on levels, right? But what Freer Mound to do is hopefully give you the keys to deciphering the entire city and seeing how that, like, how does University of Texas, how does it fit in with the entire grid of Austin, you know? And, you know, we kind of, we say reverse engineer three cities. Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., and Richmond. You know, we look at how they're all laid out their, what you say, their geomantic strengths, geomantic weaknesses. How do they relate to what you would call the perfect or well-designed geomantic city? And then how does that play out and what has actually happened there? You know, but I would like to build because I've asked that question too, as far as who is Columbia in terms of ancient Greek mythology, and then even taking it further back, who was she in the Nile Valley in ancient Kemet? And my best guess is that she was the Greek goddess Nyx, the goddess of the night, who I think she had two, she rolled with sleep and it was like sleep and maybe the subconscious. But the power of the night and the power of the subconscious, when people are sleeping and this magnetic, you know, that's when the geomantic imprint of cities is really happening. You know, not in the day when we're looking at the statues. In the day, the energy that is usually in these vortexual places, they can't fully be experienced. You got to go out to these places at night. You know, that's when this energy that they're evoking comes alive, and it's this goddess Nyx, and I think in the Nile Valley. She was the goddess Neith. That was the Greek name of her. Also Neb, the Kemetic name would be Neb-het. And she was associated, she was the gnome goddess of Memphis, of Menemphor. And down with the Ptah order, who I think are, you know, like the one order from, one of the orders from the Nile Valley that has really lived on to kind of, you know, maintain some of the disorder on the planet would be that order of Ptah. And that she was their gnome goddess of Memphis. And as this Ptah order has reincarnated in various societies and cultures throughout time, they've reincarnated Neb-het or Neith in various forms, Nyx being the Greek version, and Columbia being the modern version, you know?
Now, this would be closer to the truth of what is going on at Bohemian Grove. I know that people have associated the owl at Bohemian Grove with Moloch, thanks to Alex Jones. But Alex Jones was not one that studied deep mysteries. And sure, they burnt babies to Moloch, but Moloch was a bull, always has been a bull, and was never an owl.
You're right.
But if you go back to the depiction of the Queen of the Night, which again, we're back to the same goddess.
Yes.
She is there with her owls. She is there with her owl feet. And she is the queen of the night.
Makes sense, because the owl with the big eyes is the bird of the night.
Exactly. And this carried forward through Demeter, through Diana, through Minerva, to the point that if you were to actually look into Illuminati symbols, and that is the Bavarian Illuminati of Adam Weishaupt and the earlier Illuminati before it became a catch-all term, the actual Illuminati, they were Minerval. They worshiped the owl. This was their symbol, not a pyramid with an eye. They never used that. They were Minerval. They were with this ancient goddess of the underworld. And I did not know, Ross, that we were going to get this direction, and I'm loving it because it is one of the biggest mysteries around us, and it has followed throughout time. That Queen of the Night depiction is ancient, and then the same goddess and her owl has continued to follow throughout time to the point that we now have a nation named after her, and yet the world is completely clueless.
Yes.
Even Britannia, we can go back to her as well. You know, same thing there. And yeah. What did they have standing there on the Thames? But the Pillar of Isis, another obelisk right there. So all over. And then, of course, Philadelphia. Oh, my God, that city. I mean, you just go to that city center and you walk under that sorcerer carrying his bag on the Capitol top, and you see all those people smushed under the columns holding up the building. I mean, they're not hiding what they're doing.
Yeah, you're referring to Philadelphia City Hall, and that is the, architecturally, that is the largest Babylon Mystery Temple on planet Earth. It's a temple to Urbana, to municipal urban design, you know? And a lot of people, and I'll say this from my, what I've just been observing, DC is the political capital of the nation. New York is the financial and economic hub of the nation. But the foundry and what I would say spiritual capital of this nation is Philadelphia. And anything that they really want to jump off, as far as, you know, major social change in this country, they jump it off right here, to tap that spiritual foundry nature of this place, you know?
Like the acupuncture, an emotional acupuncture that affects the entire planet through geomancy, and for them, necrogeomancy.
Exactly. And that ties into what the Lenape say of this land, that, you know, what happens here happens with the full participation of the earth. And they make good use of that, you know. Biggest thing they're pushing out of here now is prison reform. This Meek Mill and Jay-Z thing. But my observation, prison reform and school reform are occurring simultaneously.
Yes.
And they're letting people out of prisons, but making schools more like jail. And, you know, I think they're moving toward a community-based adjudication system with the electronic monitoring integrated with the, here we go, back to the smart city, you know, when all these different reforms converge, you know, all these different social forces we see converge, you know. So
we've been watching the program.
You got the 5G jumping off where you are, and we got the prison reform jumping off up here. And when those two things, when those two forces converge, I don't want to be here.
I hear you, man. I hear you. Yeah. I got my sights on Central America or something.
Somewhere, man.
Oh my God.
Got to be open for the download to, you know, be guided where to go, you know?
Well, you find those people that are still in touch with their ancestral roots. They have something we don't, that foundation. We're flapping in the breeze. We got lots of problems and no solutions. And they all turn to their ancestors annually in celebration to return to that communication. We barely have a family core here in America.
Well, bro, we all do have ancestors, though. And I will say this, just like the season we're in astrologically, a lot of the trauma and drama and chaos in our life, best way to look at it with productive emotion is this is a great opportunity, man, to resolve, release, seal up generations of karma. Not only do we, but our ancestors need a healing, bruh. Everyone The planet is crying out right now, you know? So we need to help our ancestors, and our ancestors want to help us. And when we heal ourselves, we heal our ancestors. Our ancestors' trauma lives on in us. It's in our DNA, you know? And so a big part of resolving and healing these lifetimes of trauma and drama and pain that we keep birthing these next generations into, you know, man, we gotta heal. I think it's a time, DMT, that Bufo, that sacred toad,
even psilocybin.
Yeah, I haven't experienced that, you know. Yeah.
I grew up in the fields. I swear it changed me fundamentally, because I grew up with it, you know, walking in the cow fields, and I would just go and find them myself, and I'll stand strong in that they are way more potent and the message is way more real when you go and get them out of the fields yourself, other than producing them in the ways that people do.
I would imagine.
You got to get to the natural. But, you know, even John Hopkins University and others have flat out stated that the best cure for depression and anxiety is psilocybin.
Yes.
And
I would agree.
It'd be something to see, you know, back in the 60s, I was saying how my bus trip miraculously brought me in a sacred spiral around the United States. But back in the 60s, you know, they wanted to dose everyone just to free them. And I wonder what that would really be like if people, you know, suddenly were just wondering, you know, because people would suddenly be dancing in the streets, Ross. It would be such a different mentality. You don't see people using creative play in life much at all, even children at these times.
We do. We need a dramatic reset. That's why I do think those,
ethnogens.
Ethnogens, yeah. I think they're vital, man. I think they're a big part of the equation. And I think we also have to do our genealogy, man. Got to know our bloodlines.
Yeah, I would love to. I'm just scared to ask anything like 23andMe to tell it to me. But I wish I knew my origins, because I really don't know what I am.
I'm going to tell you what, man. I didn't do the genetic thing. But, you know, the largest genealogical database on planet Earth has been compiled by the Mormons, that Church of...
That's right.
Out in Utah, and they got one website. I think it's called FamilySearch.org. Man, it's the most comprehensive genealogical database on planet Earth.
Dang, yeah.
And I was able to do, with some of my branches, like back to the 1780s, most of my branches to the early 1800s, mostly through that one site, you know, because it has all of the birth records, marriage records, death records that it could have accumulated throughout the country. You know, it's right there in one stop. So I think it is if you're not trying to give up a whole lot, but get a lot, that's, you know, you can't go wrong there, because right, even with the Ancestry.com, where you had to register and pay and all that. No, this is a free service. But, you know, I would say, if you know the Great Mystery Philadelphia, you know why the Mormons have the largest genealogical database on the planet. And
why is that?
We called it, in the Great Mystery, we name it the Magnum Coagula, you know, where it's ultimately about attempting this. That's what the Great Mystery Philadelphia is about, stealing the prophetic birthright of those who, what you might say by bloodline birthright, is Israel, and swapping it, you know, with those who, I guess in prophecy, you would call the Jews who say they are Jews but are not, but are the synagogue of Satan, you know? And
I know the Mormons control Ogden, Utah, and that is where the whole western side of our IRS forms go. And the next corporation or institution under the Mormons collecting all of our genetic studies is the Calico division of Google. That's right. So Google is the next one under the Mormons for having the largest database of our genes. It's a strange time. And I know when I was traveling through Ogden, passing that giant extraterrestrial Mason Mormon temple that they have built there, this white pearly spire going off into space, a giant V-shaped craft flew over my car as I drove through Ogden, Utah. It's on film. This is the universe that we live in, and it all ties together. Our celestial brothers, our ancestors, the life on planet Earth itself, the way life is generated, the patterns that absolutely exist if you're free to flow within them, that will build sacred spirals into your life and into everything that we see. It's a natural form that is being manipulated over and over again with smart technologies and bringing us to dissolution as our water molecules are being microwaved to the point of unrecognizable matter that is just beyond our own emotional capabilities to even understand, because our emotions are not our own. You can pick up all of this, folks, from rossben.com. I absolutely recommend you get all of his books from the Philadelphia.
Great Mystery Philadelphia.
Great Mystery Philadelphia. Right on up to Free Your Mound and Your Mind Will Follow. rossben.com. You can get all of that, plus his interviews and amazing stuff, just because Ross is such a wonderful person. I love that I know you. I love that we've got to just hang out and really, you know, feel one another. So, Ross, I'm very thankful you're a part of my life. And we're wrapping up this first hour, so any follow-ups you got, and we'll let the folks go.
Hey, I just want to say I'm thankful for the connection too. You know, that Free Your Mind conference, it was 4 years of my life, but life, very life changing. The trajectory of my life changed significantly after those Free Your Mind conferences. And I think it really shows what happens when one's with the right intention come together, how empowering it is, you know?
And absolutely.
Yeah, man, I'm thankful, you know, because, yeah, I could say you're a part of this book, you know, straight up.
That's awesome.
You know? Your energy's a part of it, man. You'll see yourself in it when you read it, you know? That energy from the first Free Your Mind conference that I was a part of, I know it wasn't the first conference, but a lot of that energy that we shared in that time is what's in that book, you know?
Fantastic. That's the best message I could have heard. Folks, you just don't know what will happen when like minds come together and magic appears. I mean, these conferences, we'll get another Free Your Mind going here eventually soon, maybe even next year, who knows, but you know, it's a lot of work goes into those things, but what you find is that it's I think a third of the experience are the lectures and the presentations. The other two-thirds is us.
I would agree.
And that's why we go. That's why we gather. And we need more of that in our lives. We need more community, more ways to get together. I don't know the answers to these problems, but it takes just two individuals coming together, becoming four, becoming more. And we can change our own vibrations, which will play out right out onto the global plane. So thank you all so much for tuning in. I hope you'll visit rossben.com. If you got any questions for me, please write me freeman@freemantv.com. Follow me on Twitter @freemantv. And let's stay in communication and keep this thing going. Let's find this life eternal and learn how to return to the garden. So thank you all so much for tuning in here every week and supporting me. And I will see you next week.